Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now I'm so delighted to turn our attention to a very special musical that's playing for a limited time at the Public Theater. It's called Soft Power, and here's the gist, and bear with me. Do you remember the 1950s musical The King and I, where a white American school teacher finds herself advising and falling in love with the King of Siam? Though it's a classic, even under the lightest scrutiny, it becomes a story of white saviorism tinged with otherism and Orientalist stereotypes, right? Well, now imagine that story turned on its head. A Chinese protagonist comes to a 2016 America and finds himself advising and falling in love with the most powerful leader of the moment, presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, giving her advice on how to make American democracy, well, more Chinese. I saw the play last weekend and thought it was absolutely amazing. It's a story of East meets West culture clashes, Chinese communism versus American democracy. And it's funny, and it's a musical with songs like this.
When do we vote?
When do we vote?
On the Tuesday after the first Monday in the month of November.
The month of November. On the Tuesday after the first Monday in the month of November.
Doesn't take early voting into account, but maybe that's for the sequel. Here with me now are the playwright David Henry Hwang, also known for M. Butterfly, Chinglish, the Flower Drum Song, Revival, and more, and Francis Ju, who plays the playwright in the play. Yes, he plays him. They're both here. How weird it must be to be sitting with the person who plays you on stage. David and Francis, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having us.
So, David, let's start here. You decided to make this play at least a little bit autobiographical because your character get stabbed, and it's a turning point, and this happened to you. So can you talk first to our listeners about that event in your life and why you decided to write a play around it?
I originally had the idea to do sort of a reverse King and I before I got stabbed, but I was walking just on my block in Fort Greene about 9 p.m. one night, and I felt like someone hit me on the back of the head. And turned out that I'd been stabbed in the neck, and my attacker had severed my vertebral artery. We lived two blocks away from Brooklyn Hospital, so I managed to get to the ER, and everything turned out fine. But when I was writing the first draft, I just started in the middle of it writing about my stabbing and figured it would never get into the show, but it's become a central incident now.
And a turning point in your life?
Yeah. I feel like I didn't, you know, I'm pretty cheery, so I repressed a lot of it, and therefore it had to go someplace and went into the show.
Well, I mean, the impression I got from the play was that you had considered yourself just American, and this being apparently a bias crime contributed a lot to you reevaluating your place in this country and your place with respect to your heritage. Is that accurate?
That's certainly true. I mean, I've written a lot about my heritage, so I've been aware of it. But I think I was reluctant to think of this as a bias crime until I really pushed into it by working on this show.
And the opening scene of the play puts this reversal from The King and I right out there. A Chinese businessman is going to the U.S. for a year, and his young daughter is scared for him. She says it's dangerous in America. Everyone has a gun. And that's a very conscious standing of exoticism and fear on its head, obviously. But I thought that must be really bracing for American audiences to hear America, which we consider, you know, this is the safe, sophisticated place, and when we go elsewhere, it's more dangerous. You obviously did that on purpose.
Yeah, and I think that there are other lenses through which we can see our own country. Certainly, a lot of foreigners, particularly from Asia, feel that it's very dangerous to come here. And of course, the 2016 election changed a lot of views around the world and in our own country about the state of our union.
So, Francis, what's it like to play him?
Oh, no pressure. only because I've admired David for so long and first worked with him 30 years ago.
And you want to give the listeners a little sense of that. You were an M. Butterfly. What
I joined the M. Butterfly Company on Broadway as a new understudy. I've never said this to David, but even now it's sometimes hard to put a sentence together in front of him because he's so wonderful and smart. And I have felt like for all of those decades, like he's been a muse for me because he deals in his plays with such serious things that are really personal to me, but also, as you said, is able to transform them into such great comedy, and he brings hope where I'm much more of an Eeyore.
And Francis, I have probably worked together 4 or 5 times now.
And this is, you know, everybody's fantasy, right? Who will play me in the movie of me? What's it like to see yourself portrayed on stage, even as a playwright?
Well, I mean, I did this before about 10 years ago in a play called Yellowface. And in that play, Francis played my father. So watching Francis play me is, I guess, makes me aware that I've gotten older, although Francis is still younger than I am.
And there's a concept that's Chinese in the play contrasted with a concept that's American. And the Chinese concept is face, and the American concept is heart. Francis, do you want to talk about this from the standpoint of an actor first, kind of weaving together those two sort of cultural bedrocks? Because certainly the Henry David Wong character struggles with that.
Yeah, we've talked about this in rehearsal too, about how, you know, what those concepts mean and from what perspective you're defining face and heart as well, and how they do mean different things. It's like being Chinese American. You're Chinese and you're American, but that doesn't mean that you're either one of those individually. You're something else if you're Chinese American, and my version of Chinese American is different from somebody else's version of Chinese American. I think one of the things I've learned by doing the show is that we start with this idea that they're both very separate things, that one is Chinese, one is American. And then we realize very quickly in the play that we're, whether you're Chinese or American, you're actually trying to accomplish the same thing. Face and heart are actually trying to accomplish the same thing. By saying that everyone has a vote, you're actually giving face to everyone in the country who has a right to vote. By saying that I'm going to provide you tough love, that's a version of heart. They all come from the same human impulse, and I think that's one of the great things about the show is exploring how these apparently very different people are actually operating from the same human impulse.
Listeners, I wonder if anyone has seen Soft Power, and we'll talk about the title as well and what that refers to. But has anybody seen it and wants to ask either Henry David Wong, the playwright, or Francis Zhu, who plays him in the play, a question? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or maybe any Chinese Americans for whom this rings true as a thing, face versus heart, as sort of bedrock Chinese versus American values. Is that a thing? Or any other kinds of values that you would want to put out there that for you as a whole person with both heritages is meaningful to you, or that sometimes maybe leaves you confused? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Henry David Wong, the question of democracy, the way it's dealt with in the play. You dare to have a character question democracy versus non-democracy, not just which is the best way to democracy or the best way to have democracy. I was in China on a tour for journalists in 2012, and we were exposed to all kinds of political points of view. And one of the ones that was the most bracing for all the American journalists on this tour was that there were Chinese intellectuals who we met who were very explicitly arguing against democracy as the best system for the people of a country. They were saying, and of, you know, I'm broadly paraphrasing here, but the argument was something like, what you call Chinese authoritarianism, it isn't like some tin pot dictator where it's all about him and he abuses his power. China has this system that is self-generating, where the president has term limits, where the elite choose the best leaders for the country from among themselves because they really have the best interest of the country in mind. And the way it gets expressed in your play is, are you kidding? Your people just elected Donald Trump and you think democracy is better than our system? So how seriously do you take that as a question?
Well, I think in terms of the Chinese musical, since it's theoretically from their point of view looking yes. at America, it does advance at many times an anti-democratic position and this sort of a technocrat elite instead. And I think where it comes to both the DHH character in the show and the Hillary character, to some extent the musical and the show as a whole functions as sort of the last temptation of David or of Hillary. This, after the 2016 election, really questioning, is majoritarian democracy a system that produces the best results? Of course, you have to take into account how the Electoral College distorts that in our case also. But
Among other things, but
right.
that's another show.
Yes, and education and all that. But anyway, and so by the end of the show, I think the David's character in particular is really struggling to regain a faith in democracy, as does the Hillary Clinton character, who sings ultimately about her faith in democracy despite all of that.
How about that conflict for you as an actor, struggling with this? It's something that you probably never thought you would have to portray. Somebody wondering, and I guess the character doesn't wonder too much. The character really defends democracy, but being confronted with that.
Yeah, I think that part of what the show has made me confront is how much not like an American I have felt since I was a little kid because of who I am and how much I've suppressed that in order to fit in, how much I have subconsciously worried about saying the wrong thing, saying it the wrong way, wearing the wrong clothes, and how all of those anxieties are reinforced in small and large ways in our culture, in cultural representations of us, in hiring in my business as well as other businesses. You know, where is the glass ceiling for people like me? This show, where finally I get to end the show singing center stage in a line of other people who look like me singing about America.
Yes.
And confronting the audience, really asking the audience, do you see America when you look at this stage? I think has been really powerful and healing for me. I think that it was tough for me to learn how to be on center stage, speaking from my own perspective, reflecting on that anxiety throughout my entire life. But I'm getting a little more confident as we go along.
And David, I want to apologize. I think I've been reversing your first name and second name,
no
David
problem.
Henry Huang,
yes.
to be clear. This play is so good. I mean, this is just top level. This is as good as it gets.
Well, thank you.
To my eye. And, you know, and it's a big production. It's a real, like, Broadway level musical with everything that people would think of that.
Including a 23-piece orchestra.
Absolutely. Unbelievable. Right on stage for some of the play. Do you think this play could go to Broadway, or would audiences just not be ready for it if we assume that Broadway audiences are, you know, ticketed by a lot of tourists from Middle America?
I like to think, and Janine Tesori, who composed the music, and Lee Silverman, our director, we like to think this is a show that could work on Broadway. It's more challenging than a lot of things. It's not a jukebox musical. It's original. It has ideas. But there should be a place for that on Broadway as well.
let's hope, and I hope on your behalf, because it's just that good. The title, Soft Power. Explain it.
So soft power is a term that was originally coined about 20 years ago by the Harvard political scientist Joseph Nye. And it refers to, as opposed to a country's hard power, which is its money and its armaments, soft power is the power of its culture, the narrative it tells the world, the attractiveness of a culture and a country to the rest of the world.
And I should say, again, I said it at the beginning, but this play is really funny in addition to everything else. What's that like for you as a writer when you're dealing with these big themes of democracy and identity and bias and violence, and at the same time you're writing this, you know, uproarious script?
Well, I think it really helps when you're talking about big ideas and ideas that can be uncomfortable to be able to have a sense of humor about them. And then there are things that are just absurd. There's the notion of what does it mean if you're from China and you come to America and you land at JFK and all the hawkers are around you trying to get and does that feel like we normally stereotype a white person going to a third world country? And there's humor in that.
Let me sneak in a caller here. This is Lee Robin in Garrison, New York. Lee Robin, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, thank you very much. A pleasure. And David, I love your work.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that it was very eye-opening. This summer I was in a museum in Melbourne in Australia, and they had a wonderful showing of Chinese artists with a White Rabbit Gallery. And I was reading the description on one of the pieces, which was bullet holes that the artist's grandmother had done in needlepoint. You know, you had to be there to experience it. But the line on the description said, a reminder of gun-toting and gun-owning cultures like the United States. And that really blew me away because it made me realize just how people in Asia and around the world perceive our culture. And it's spot on. It's right on the money. But it was really, it really moved me to read how other people see us.
Well, we have a song in our musical called Good Guy with a Gun. And I think it is true. It is certainly true that there, I mean, the United States, there's more guns than there are people. So the degree to which we're a gun-owning culture and we're weapons are rampant is very much the impression that people overseas have of us.
Why, in the reversal of The King and I, Hillary Clinton, after all she lost?
Well, when I originally conceived this, I had a more direct reverse King and I notion where the Chinese businessman would come here and become an advisor to President Hillary Clinton. And we did a reading of that version on Election Day 2016. And I remember waking up the next morning and going, I think this is going to be bad for the country, but it could be really good for the musical. Because now, ultimately, the musical doesn't examine, it examines to some extent, will China gain soft power, which is a stated goal of theirs? But it also more largely examines how is the U.S. losing soft power since 2016, and will we be able to get it back?
Did you ask Hillary Clinton permission? I know you don't need permission to write a character based on a real character, but I'm just curious if you consulted with her at all.
We wanted to be respectful of her, and so through intermediaries, we let her know, or at least her people know, that she was going to be a character in this even before we announced it for its initial production in Los Angeles last spring.
And Frances, the name Hillary Clinton is spoken a lot since she's a character.
Mm-hmm.
The name Donald Trump, at least to my ear, was never spoken in the script, even though it was clear he was referred to many times.
That's true. I think that one of the – well, this is just my hypothesis, but I think that that David and Janine didn't mention Trump because the ideas in this play are bigger than just one person. Trump – or this presidency is a symptom of a lot of things, and we're all, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, everyone right now is feeling victimized. Everyone is feeling stabbed in the neck, and so how do we deal with that?
We have to leave it there with the playwright David Henry Hwang and Francis Ju, who plays the playwright in the musical Soft Power, playing at the Public Theater until?
November 17th.
So you've got a few days, folks. Worth it if you have the time, and can buy a ticket. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so
much. Thank you.